The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What are the seal judgments in Revelation? Welcome to Grace in Focus. Today we're going to talk about the fifth and sixth seal in the book of Revelation, tribulation believers who have been martyred during the first four seal judgments, and what happens to them. Thank you, friend, for joining us. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find us on the web at faithalone.org. We would love to interest you in attending our annual national conference coming up in May 2026, the 18th through the 21st of May. If you've never been, we'd love you to go to our website and read about it, get information about it, and get registered. We'd love to have you with us. Find all the information you need at faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin, Philippe Sterling, and Sam Marr.
The last show we talked about the first four seal judgments, which are the four horsemen. Sam just made the point that when it talks about the fourth of the earth was destroyed, that probably doesn't say it was the fourth horseman that did that, but it was one, two, three, and four together. And you were agreeing with that, Philippe? Is that right?
Sure. It's referring probably to the martyrs of the early tribulation period.
And Sam, what was your point about the four being taken up together? This is basically kind of a summary statement.
Well, just that we see in the description of the fourth horseman that he's been given power over the fourth of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, and death.
Ah.
And so in the second and third horseman, we see he's given a large sword, and then the third horseman kind of represents famine.
Which
and then
would
the fourth
hungry,
horseman
yeah.
is called death. Those are the means by which he's killing. And then it also says the beast of the earth, but that's not really represented by the white horseman.
So then 1, 2, 3, and 4 are actually occurring simultaneously?
Yeah, concurrently, perhaps.
Concurrently. And so at the end of this time, we have a fourth of mankind killed. And then what is the fifth seal judgment?
The fifth seal takes us into the heavenly scene, the third heaven, or where perhaps Jesus is with the resurrected believers of the church age. But it says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So these are believers, people have come to believe during these judgments, and they are martyred for their faith. And they cry out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth.
Now, this isn't the altar in the physical temple in Jerusalem, but you're saying this is an altar in heaven.
Yes, this is the heavenly tabernacle. When we jump forward to the bowls, we'll see about seven angels in the tabernacle of God coming down, holding each a bowl that they'll pour out on the earth, the final judgment.
So there's like a heavenly temple or a heavenly tabernacle, yeah. which mirrors the earthly temple.
Yeah. And so we're taken to that scene, and those who had been martyred ask the Lord, how long is it until you avenge us? And the following judgments are going to be the answer to that prayer.
And why is a white robe given to each of them?
That was going to be my question, because if you were just reading Revelation, then if you go back to, I don't remember which of the churches it is, to one of them, it said to the overcomer.
That might be Smyrna, the church of the martyrs.
Revelation 3:4, they were able to walk with him in white, for they were worthy. Mm-hmm. White garments, later in Revelation, we're told are the righteous deeds of the saints. In other words, these white garments are a reward for faithfulness. So wouldn't that be a suggestion that because they were faithful, they are given these faithful garments?
Now, those are for tribulation believers. Make that distinction because Smyrna
right.
and the churches,
church
age believers. But here, these are tribulation period. But they also, for their faithfulness, they're rewarded.
It also shows that God's not only going to reward church-age believers. He's going to reward Old Testament believers, mm-hmm. and he's going to reward tribulation believers. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be rewarded, and the tribulation believers, evidently, if they're overcomers, they too will rule in the millennium.
Revelation 20 tells us that. Those of the tribulation period are resurrected and they will reign with him for 1,000 years.
The fifth seal then is actually looking at the martyrs and they're saying how long? And the answer is it's very soon.
Now, just
right?
a little longer. Just rest a little longer. It's all going to happen.
And if they're on divine time, it's going to seem like a few minutes because, of course, we don't have a definite time on when the fifth seal judgment occurs, but it's somewhere near the end of the first half.
Yes, because the seventh seal is going to introduce the seven trumpets, which are going to probably start towards the end of that first 2.5 years.
Okay, are we on to the sixth seal judgment?
Yes, the sixth seal then takes us back to the earth. And these are going to be a whole series of natural calamities.
And this has led to a lot of date setting, right? But those aren't signs that occur before the tribulation. Mm-hmm. That's why you can't count up the number of earthquakes and go, okay, they're increasing in frequency, so that shows the rapture must be within so many years. No, this will be occurring during the sorrows, during the tribulation.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
All right, so read the sixth seal, please.
So verse 12, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind, and the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So by the way, here it seems that the people on earth have a glimpse of that heavenly tabernacle, the one who sits on the throne and the Lamb, and they are taking refuge, fleeing, hiding.
And they see it as his wrath.
Yes.
Because the tribulation period is a time of the outpouring of God's wrath on earth. The Lamb is also the Lion. The Lamb of God not only takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29, but he does pour out his wrath during the 70th seven.
Even in the Gospel of John, it's pointed out that all judgment has been given to the Son.
John chapter 5, yes. So that means not only the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment and the judgment of the sheep and the goats, but it also means the judgments of the tribulation. These are all judgments which precede the great white throne judgment. So what are our concluding points then on the sixth seal?
Well, those are natural calamities that are taking place, and it gives us a glimpse of how people are going to react to that. Many will apparently believe, many will be martyred, but most here are told that they're hiding from the Lamb.
Right. There is going to be something called the mark of the beast. Once a person takes the mark of the beast, they're going to be sealed in unbelief.
That will be in Revelation 12. There, it's introduced as the beast from the sea, the beast from the land, the false prophet, and he's the one that regulates all economic matters and uses the mark of the beast.
Now, is that part of the seals, the trumpets, or the bowls?
Well, there's Revelation chapter 12, 13, and 14 focuses on personages, and it's an interlude, basically, that pauses, you know, what's happening of the trumpets and the bowls.
All right, Sam, any closing comments on this?
If we got a second, I just wanted to point out a connection, potential connection, between the end of the sixth seal judgment and then all the way in Revelation 18. With what Philippe was saying, we get a glimpse of how the people on the earth are going to react, and it's clear that they know who is exacting this judgment on the earth. But then there's going to be a period in that same inner period that y'all were talking about with the Mark of the Beast where people try to resume a normal way of life. They want to go about. There's going to be merchants who are going to be trading and making lots of money, and rich people who are going to be profiting off of all of this. And then at the fall of Babylon in chapter 18, they're mourning all of this. And so we see the kings and the merchants mourn, but then the shipmasters, specifically for some reason, they recognize God's sovereignty, that this is a righteous judgment that he's exacted on this group of people. And I think that's kind of similar to what we see here in verses 16 and 17. It's not talking about the shipmaster specifically, but we see the people, they're not ignorant of God's existence at this point, but they still choose not to believe.
Or they, some of them may believe, right?
Some may believe, yeah.
Bob Bryan argues that during the tribulation, there will be untold millions that come to faith in Christ.
I tend to think there'll be hundreds of millions,
right?
You know, even out of that population that's gradually decreasing because
right.
of all the deaths occurring.
As long as they haven't taken the mark of the beast and they haven't become sealed in unbelief, the possibility of believing is there. Good point, Sam, linking that with chapter 18. You know, a lot of people don't study the book of Revelation. They don't study the book of Daniel. They don't study the prophetic books. But that's a huge mistake, don't you all think?
Yes, because here we talk about judgments, but it's still talking about how God is the wrath of the Lamb, the matter of justice, the prayers of all those who suffered at the hands
yes.
of others and were martyred for their faiths through the centuries and millennia even. Focuses particularly on the tribulation saints here who believe. But the idea is when the angels, you know, talk to go out there, the censers who have the prayers ascending
right.
and everything, that's a collection of all who have prayed to God for justice and everything.
And God is just. And
yes.
that is the message of the book of Revelation
yes.
is God is just and whatever people sow, they reap. Basically, 2 Peter 3:9 says God wishes none should perish, looks at the tribulation. And God knows that when that comes, there's going to be these billions of deaths. And as long as there's enough repentance worldwide, the tribulation is postponed. Daniel 70:7 is postponed. Well, this has been very challenging stuff. I hope you all are praying about these issues, studying these issues, because they have a definite impact on our walk with Christ, because we realize we're not going through this. And we also realize that if we are overcomers, Revelation 2 and 3, then we're going to walk with him in white and we're going to rule and reign with him. The kingdom is coming soon, and how we long to hear him say, "Well done, good servant." So yes. in the meantime, what are we going to do?
We're going to
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now we thank you for joining us all this week on Grace in Focus. Have yourself a great weekend. Come back and join us again on Monday. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.